Psalm 100 is often known as the Thanksgiving Psalm. And in fact, at our church, our children memorize Psalm 100 and sometimes recite it for us. It is the psalm that, in fact, is entitled a Psalm of Thanksgiving. The concept of Thanksgiving, however, has kind of fallen on hard times in America. For example, just 2 years ago, if any of you have heard of the man named Kyrie Irving, a professional basketball player, and right, they played just the day before Thanksgiving, and so after the game, he was doing his sports interview, and the lady who was interviewing him at the very end said, "Thank you, Kyrie, for your time. By the way, happy Thanksgiving." And on national television, before they could bleep it out, Kyrie Irving cursed Thanksgiving. There have been recent attacks on Thanksgiving Day. Some say that it's actually a celebration of the genocide of Native American Indians. Some in U.S. colleges teach that Thanksgiving is a racist day because Thanksgiving is a part of Christianity, and Christianity is a white religion. Not only is the concept of Thanksgiving as a celebration, as a holiday, fallen on hard times, but the concept of being thankful itself is attacked. Woody Allen, if any of you know him, humorist, playwright, movie script writer, raised Jewish, although long since having abandoned his Jewish faith, once made a humorous remark. But before I give you the remark, you have to know, and because I'm, no offense, but I'm looking at the younger group, you have to know what an old-fashioned typewriter was like. And some of you are going, typewriter? Okay, you know, the keyboard on your computer, but in the old days, of course, without a computer, you press the, and I'm talking about before the electric ones even, you press the key down, that flipped a lever, which struck the key up, and each key had a letter of the alphabet engraved on it, and there was a little ink ribbon in the paper behind it. And so when you hit the key, like on the keyboard, it would strike that key up and make an imprint of the letter in ink, and that's how you typed. Well, if you'll remember, they had a roller on them, so that when you reach the end of the sentence, you hit the lever, and you brought the carriage all the way back over to the beginning of the page, and at the same time, it would notch it, it would just advance it one notch down. And Woody Allen said, "How can I be thankful when just this morning I managed to get my own tongue stuck in the roller of my typewriter?" Now, I don't know how in the world you get your tongue stuck in the roller of a typewriter. I mean, it's almost like kind of like running over yourself with your own car. But the idea he was getting across, very weird and bizarre humor, the idea he was getting across is, what's the likelihood of this happening? And since it's so odd that it would happen, how can I possibly be thankful to a God who would let something like this occur? Let's put that in more common terms. How can I be thankful when all around the world people are dying of a disease called COVID or coronavirus, and we think we have a vaccine for it, but that vaccine doesn't seem to always work, and people who get vaccinated die anyway? I had a good friend that I've known for 20 years pass away from coronavirus. Just recently, a gentleman that I knew, a brother in Christ, seemed to be recovering from it, and then overnight, and then passed away. When we look at life, our world says there's really nothing to be thankful for. Why bother? But the Bible presents the complete opposite viewpoint. Psalm 100, make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. So enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. It is relatively easy to believe that God exists. By the grace of God's Spirit, we believe Christ died on the cross. But I believe that one of the hardest virtues of the Christian life to cultivate is the virtue of thankfulness. To wake up every morning and say, thank you, God, for my life. Whatever oddities might occur, whether you walk out to your car and find that you have not one but two flat tires, or whether some strange event occurs that impairs your health or your job, or even the loss of a good friend, all men should be thankful to God. And it's hard to go through life and have all the difficulties thrown at you and still say, thank you, God, for my life. But that's exactly what Psalm 100 tells us we should do. So let's take a look at the psalm in detail this morning. The first thing we're going to see is this. Psalm 100 teaches us that everyone should be thankful. Let's look again, if you will. Verse 1, make a joyful shout to the Lord. Who? All you lands. So not just, you know, Christians, not just Bonham or Fannin County or Texas, not just America. Everybody on the face of the whole earth, regardless of what country or culture in which they find themselves, make a joyful shout to the Lord. Everybody. Verse 3 tells us that it is God who made us. So make this joyful shout, come to his gates with thanksgiving, praise his name. Why? Because he made us. I'm alive because God gave me life. Verse 3 says, the Lord is God. And that applies to everybody. He's not just the God of white people or black people or brown, or any other ethnicity. He's not just the God of Americans or the English. He is God over the entire globe. He has made everyone, made the earth, sustains it, and given everybody life. So that verse 5 can say, because God is good. The requirement of this psalm, the teaching of this psalm, is that as creatures, God is our unchangeably good creator, and we owe to him thankfulness and praise. So the second point is actually a question. Well, then why aren't we more thankful? Why is it that we don't wake up every morning when the alarm goes off, slap the alarm shut, and say, thank you, God, for my alarm clock? I don't. Of course, it's not an alarm clock anymore. It's an alarm phone. But when I have to use one, I have to confess, I'm not very thankful for the alarm. Why is it that we don't go throughout our day when we fight traffic, or when we're on our way to work, or when we're at work, And we don't stop and say, thank you, God, for my job. I enjoy typing all day long. I enjoy flipping burgers all day long. I enjoy talking to irate people on the phone all day long. Most of us tend to look at our lives and we grumble. I'm in that category. I'm no saint. I am a grumbler. And I've had years of practice grumbling. I've got it down to a fine art. Why aren't we thankful? Because to be thankful, we have to admit some things about God that our nature doesn't want to admit. Verse 3, notice if you will. It is He who made us and not we ourselves. To be thankful, you have to admit that God created you. And we don't actually like to think, at least not by nature, that God created me. If God created me, I have to obey Him. If God created me, then only He can tell me right and wrong. If God created me, then my life is to be lived for Him and not myself. But I naturally resist and hate all of those things. I would much rather live a life where I imagine that I'm in control and I get to decide right and wrong, and I get to live my life to make me happy. And so I'm not thankful because in the end, I simply don't like God. And that brings us to the second point of why men aren't thankful. Because to be thankful, we have to admit that God is God. He has given us everything that we have, and He has the right to rule over us. And that means that not only is He God, but we also have to admit that despite the difficulties of my life, to be thankful, I have to confess that God has actually been good to me. He didn't make me rich. I'm not famous. I don't have the looks of some outstandingly handsome male model. Not anymore. I used to. Trust me. Somebody doesn't trust me. How can I be thankful when my life is like this? How can I be thankful when there's so much misery in the world? How can I believe that the God who created us and who has all power is also good? Or let me be even more specific. How can I believe that the God who created us and has all power has been good to me? And that ultimately is why we aren't more thankful. Is because we doubt whether or not God has been good to me. We can think of 10, 15, or 20 different ways that we wish our life had gone. Things that we would change. Things that we do complain about. And like the Israelites in the middle of the desert eating angels' food called manna every day, we sit there and we say, God, manna again? And we're not thankful because in the end, we're not sure God really has been good to me. And that means, third point, first, all men, all people should be thankful. Secondly, why aren't we thankful? We can't wrap our head around the fact that God is the Almighty God and that He's been good. And so, in the end, being thankful is something that only Christians can do. And that's the third point. Being thankful is something really only Christians can do. If you will, don't lose Psalm 100. Turn in your Bible to Romans chapter 1. Now, if you are familiar with Romans 1, you will recognize it as the chapter in which we have this repeated phrase, God gave them up. And if you're familiar with Romans 1, you know that it's the chapter when he talks about giving them up. It's talking about God giving up people who have rejected him, giving them over to homosexual passions. And that's what Romans 1 is mostly known for. But I want you to notice the sins that Paul lists. And so if you will, to go down to verse 21, Paul says, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful. You say, what horrible sin did these people commit that God gave them over? The answer, they weren't thankful. And that's the natural course of humanity. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, Paul says, in the latter days or in the last days, men are going to be corrupt and high-minded. And he lists all these sins. And one of the sins he lists right in the middle of the horribleness of the last days is men will be unthankful. The natural response of the human heart is to look at God and say, God, I'm not happy. I don't drive a Maserati or a Lexus or a Cadillac. You didn't make me, you know, the way I want to be. You didn't give me the life that I want to live. You didn't give me all the things that I desire. So God, I'm not happy. And if I'm not happy, I'm not thankful. And the more we look at God as being not good because he doesn't do things my way, the more natural we become, the more hardened we become in our unthankfulness. But the Christian is different. The Christian doesn't look at the bank account, or the Christian doesn't look at happiness the way the world defines it. The Christian looks at God differently. Go back to Psalm 100, if you would. There's some interesting words here. And because Hebrew is very specific in its vocabulary, its grammar drives me nuts, but its vocabulary is very specific. The word in verse 1, make a joyful shout to the Lord. Joyful shout is one word, and it very specifically refers to the kind of a shout that a citizenry makes when their side wins a battle. It's the shout of victory, the shout of triumph. It's the shout, ladies, that your husband makes when his football team scores a touchdown. Okay? That, yes! This is not polite in the sense of yay or well done. This is an emotional shout. Yes! And Psalm 100 says that the believer looks at God as a conquering king and says, yes! Imagine, if you would, that you are the citizen of a city and there is an enemy army approaching, and we're talking about 1,000 years before Christ. And so this enemy army is marching, and within 2 or 3 days, they will be at the gates of your city. If this enemy army wins the battle, your husband and your sons and your children will be killed if they are male. If they are female, they will be raped and sold into slavery. Your own destiny is unsure. You don't know what's going to happen to you. Everything you know will be burned, destroyed, or robbed. You will no longer have a house. You will no longer have freedom. You will no longer have a field. The best you could hope for would be to be somebody's abject slave for the rest of your life. The worst is that you will be tortured and killed. and your king goes out with his army. There are no drones with photography. There's no CNN. There's no television. You sit back in the city and you wait. And then the runner comes. The young man, 13, 14 years old, who bears news. And he comes in and he tells you, our king won. This is the description for the Christian. We are enslaved by birth to our own sins. We worship our own sins and our own selfishness. We want life to be the way we want it to be. But then the noise, the shout, the news comes. God has won. Satan has been defeated. Your sins have been paid for. Your sins are conquered. And one day God will come as king and defeat all injustice. He will destroy everything that is wrong. He will institute a kingdom of absolute perfect love. And in the heart of the Christian, we go, yes. The Christian has every reason to be thankful. If we put our roots in this life and we look down all the time at what I have to do and my responsibilities and my jobs and my chores and the mundane things and not sure whether life is going to be happy or not, it's awfully hard. But if we remember to look up and to think about eternity and to think of Christ dying on the cross to pay for my sins, and God in grace and mercy forgiving my sins and defeating my sin and defeating Satan and promising me eternity in an absolute perfect kingdom. How can I not make a joyful shout to the Lord and be thankful? We should praise God. We generally or genuinely do not praise him and are not thankful out of our own nature. We're not born thankful people. But by faith, Christians are thankful to God. So the last point, how are Christians thankful? What is it that we do to express our thankfulness? Well, look at some words again, if you would. Verse 2, serve the Lord with gladness. You know, coming to church is supposed to be gladness. You enjoy each other's company. You enjoy singing. You enjoy being reminded. I know it's hard. I know it's duty. I know the pews sometimes get a little hard and uncomfortable. But in the end, the Christian says, I want to be here because I want to be reminded that I have every reason in the world to be happy. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Regardless of how well you sing or how well you don't sing, or how not well you sing. I'm not sure how the grammar of that fits out. There is the aspect of a Christian that when we open up the hymn book or we look at the words of a song and we sing them, we go, my God is good. And so we come to him with praise. But we're told in verse 4, that we enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. We are thankful to him and bless his name. And these are in the plural. It's not something we do as individuals. It's something we do together. As a church, we come together and we remind ourselves, I have every reason in the world to be thankful to God. Because my King has defeated my sins. He has defeated my enemy, Satan. He has given me a place in his eternal perfect kingdom. My God is a great God and a great Savior. If you are without Christ, if you do not believe in Jesus Christ as your only Savior, you really have no reason to be thankful. If you don't believe in God at all as an atheist, why be thankful to evolution? Two molecules by chance happen to come together, and you're going to be thankful for just the odd chance that life sort of evolved by accident? Why be thankful when, for all you know, human life may actually eradicate itself through some international global war, or an asteroid might hit the earth, or some disease worse than coronavirus might kill us all? If you have no faith in God, then for all you know, these things are true or might yet happen. Why be thankful to something that is nothing more than fear and trepidation? If your hope isn't in heaven, and you look at your life and you say, my life hasn't been very good, there's no reason to be thankful. But Christians know that God is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. And when we come together to worship God with thanksgiving, whether it's, you know, a little bit of a tiring day, or again, maybe the pew's a little uncomfortable, inside there is, in all of us who believe, a joy that says God is good. I deserve hell, and God has given me eternal life. Back in the 1980s and 90s on television, there was a televangelist who became noted for the phrase, something good is going to happen to you today. And he would say that on his show all the time. Just remember, something good is going to happen to you today. Kind of this optimistic stuff. I had a good friend preaching a sermon one time, Steve Haynes, who's gone to be with the Lord now. And Steve Haynes said, something good did happen to you today. You woke up and you weren't in hell. God didn't give you what you deserved. And I know that sounds shocking, but for the Christian, we go, yeah, that's right. God has forgiven me my sins. And he has given me everything that is good. And I am an heir of God the Father himself. I am eternal royalty because I am a child of God. I am his daughter. I am his son. And God is good. The Christian is the only one who has a reason to be thankful. But we have fantastic reasons to be thankful. So let's go to God in prayer and thank him for his goodness to us. Our God and Father, you are good. You are good to us despite our sins. You are good to us despite our grumbling and complaining. You are faithful to your promise when we are not faithful to you. You are kind to us when we are less than kind. Father, you have granted to us the hope of an eternal life and an eternal glory to come that far exceeds our imagination. We offer to you all praise and thanksgiving and honor and glory. God, help us to rejoice in the treasure that we have through Jesus Christ, our Savior. In his name we pray.